But before that, it's the story of John. John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for Jesus. Advent, and this is the second Sunday of Advent, Advent is a time for getting ready, a time for preparation. I kind of wish Smokey Robinson was here today so he could be singing, "Getting Ready, Because Here He Comes." Getting ready, because, you know that one, right? It loses a lot in the interpretation, but you get the idea, right? It's a time when we look forward to something. Advent, the second Sunday. John the Baptist said we should look forward to the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And we all listen to those words and we nod in affirmation and say, yes, we look forward to Jesus who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. But do you really know what that means? Do you really understand what that means, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? The word baptized is the same word as to stain. Not a bad stain, mind you, but a good stain. Or to change color, like if you were to dye a piece of cloth. If you were to immerse a piece of cloth in dye until it was completely changed to a different color. That's what the word baptism means, if you look it up in the original Greek. And so to be baptized is to be changed. Years ago, I worked in a furniture store, and we sold, among other things, rugs, area rugs, carpet, you know, the smaller carpets, 8x10 and so on. And there were expensive rugs and there were cheap rugs. And one of the big differences between the expensive rugs and the cheap rugs were that the cheap rugs had a pattern printed on them, sprayed on with ink after they were made, a neutral color. Whereas the expensive rugs, the yarn was of different colors to begin with, and so the rug was woven with the yarn that was already thoroughly colored. The cheap rugs, the color would wash out in a few years and you'd have to replace it. But the expensive rugs, the color would last forever. To be baptized is to be changed into a color, so to speak, that will last forever. To be baptized is to be completely and thoroughly changed, to be endued with a stain, a good stain that goes all the way through, a color. There's no artificial color. It's not sprayed on the outside. It's something that you're endued with. So that's the word baptized. But then we have the other words, the Holy Spirit. What does the word holy mean? The word holy means to be sacred, blameless, consecrated, awesome. Awesome in the fearful sense. Because if we ever were to encounter God, we would be incredibly afraid with a good sort of fear. Not scared afraid, but afraid as though, oh my gosh, or oh my God, sort of afraid. It means set apart. The word holy is something that we barely comprehend because we don't know a lot about holy, but we try to make holy space with the tabernacle and with the altar. And we regard that space as a holy space, and we know a little bit about it, but we just barely touch what holy means. Holy is the living God seated upon the throne, the creator of all things, who is so pure and so clean that if we in these earthly bodies of ours were to approach him, we would be burned. We wouldn't be able to survive. No flesh can approach the living God. We need to get new bodies in order to get near him at all. That's what Peter talks about in his second lesson, the New Testament lesson from 2 Peter chapter 3, which, by the way, whoever does this forgot to put the reference on there. Did you notice that? 2 Peter chapter 3. That would be me. But Peter said this, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." We want to talk about how holy God is. God is so holy and pure and awesome that he's not even in time and space like we are. He transcends time and space. Indeed, he made time and space. It says the morning and the night, or the light and the darkness, were the first day ever. That was the beginning of the keeping of time. That's kind of hard to even wrap your mind around. But God is outside of all of what we consider to be even good. He is so holy that we can barely comprehend it. And now, Now, having grasped that a little bit, how about the word Spirit? To be baptized or to be changed in color, to be stained permanently in a good way with the holy, the awesome, the blameless, the consecrated, the set apart Spirit. Spirit or ghost, the word ghost, means a blast of breath, of air currents, a supernatural blast of breath or air. The word in Greek is pneumos. Has anybody ever heard the word pneumatic? Okay, the pressure or the force of air, that's what the word pneumos in Greek is talking about, the breath of God. The breath of God. That which is sacred, that comes from the very heart of God, that which is sacred, that comes from within God, is what the Holy Spirit is. So are you willing to be stained or dyed with the sacred, consecrated, awesome, supernatural, I can't even say those words, the divine breath of God? That's what John the Baptist said Jesus was going to do. John said, I'm dunking you in water in this River Jordan, but one is coming who's going to dunk you, immerse you in his divine breath of life, his Holy Spirit. Therein, you see, lies the great mystery of Christianity. Because we're the only religion where the God, our living God, comes and lives within us by his Holy Spirit. The pneumos of God, or the breath of God, means that when he exhales, new life is created. And God keeps exhaling and inhaling and exhaling. If we were to anthropomorphize God and give him human characteristics, which we are allowed to do because we have no other way to describe God, because he's not like us, we're more like him than he's like us. But if we were to describe him that way, when God breathes in and then breathes out, every time he breathes out, new life is created. New birth happens, both physically and spiritually. You receive the breath of God. And it's permanent. It's like a change of color. And so Peter said in the second reading, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Why? Because the holiness of God is here, and all the rest of the earth is here. They need to be reconciled. And so all that is physical and all that is carnal and all that is of nature, of a bad nature, is going to be done away with and laid bare and will be destroyed. And Peter said, since this is the case, here's the type of people you ought to be. You ought to be holy people, blameless people. In keeping with his promises, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, he said, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. How do you be spotless and blameless and at peace with God? One of the best ways to do that is to receive him as your Lord and Savior, and then to be baptized in his Holy Spirit. And that baptism endues you and immerses you in a change. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about. If you've received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know what it means to be changed into his image and his likeness. When God fills you, and then when he baptizes you with his Holy Spirit, you then have the power and ability to overcome anything in the world that may come against you. Peter says to make every effort to be found spotless. That's your job, isn't it? When he says to make every effort, that's not something that God's going to do automatically in you. It's your job to make every effort to be found spotless and blameless. So you need to take that Holy Spirit who lives in you, who has immersed you, and you need to live that life that he reveals to you on the inside, and to be at peace with God. And he said to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says to grow, it doesn't mean to stand still and to be stagnant, does it? It means to grow, to increase, to keep learning and keep coming to more and more knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you do that? By the breath of God. By the breath of God. As the candle of preparation that we lit this morning, as that's burning, are you preparing? Are you receiving that breath of God? Are you getting ready? Because here he comes. How do you prepare? And how do you get ready? How do we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? That was a dilemma that I suffered when I was young. When I was in the church as a young child and then later on as a young man, I found myself drifting away. I found myself like a buoy in the water, just kind of going with the waves. And at one time in my life, I asked God, I said, would you fill me? Would you baptize me in this Holy Spirit? I need that because I can't do this alone. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Jesus said, whoever asks the Father for the Spirit, God will give him. He'll give it to him. And so I asked God, and I said, fill me up with this Holy Spirit. And he did. And since then, although I've stumbled and fallen, I've never lost the direction of where God is leading me, of the knowledge of him. He's always there. He never leaves. That's the process, and that's the advantage to being filled with the Holy Spirit. If there's one thing that the world needs, if there's one thing that the world needs as much as it needs love, remember Petula Clark's song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah. What it needs as much as it needs love is it needs new life. Think about this. The people are running around out there helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears and over their eyes, looking, searching all over for whatever they can find that has a semblance of life. And you know what? There's a stench out there in the world, and it reeks. It reeks of decay. It reeks of things being done away with and passing away. People are searching for a fullness of life, and they can't find it. What they need is the breath of God. What they need is that new life-giving spirit. That life-giving spirit to fill them up like it's filled us. How can they find that new life? Where can they go? They can come here, huh? They can come here because we together come together to worship for one reason, because we have found that new life. We have received that breath of God. We have been filled up with that Holy Spirit. We've been changed, and the breath of God causes us to be new creatures and new creation in Christ Jesus. And we are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you been changed and empowered, enlightened, and shown the way? Do you have this pneumos, this breath of God inside of you? Because if you do, it will give you the guidance and direction and comfort and peace with God that you need on an everyday basis. And if you do have that, will you go out and share the breath of God with those that are dying and perishing? Because we sit here together and we say, we have found new life, and we worship. We even put our hands up in the air. We're so excited about it. This is something wonderful that God has done in our lives. He's filled us up with his life-giving spirit. Can we go out and share that, and will we? Let God give you his pneumos, his breath, his spirit, because when it fills you up, it will then overflow. And when it overflows, it will touch others. Will you go and give others the breath of God? Amen.